Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. What I love about hosting this show is that I get to meet some wonderful people and learn about great organizations, some well-known and respected, and some I've never heard of before or knew very little about. I've had listeners tell me, I never knew that nonprofit existed, or I heard of them but never really knew what they did. Well, that's exactly why we do this show, to help to get the word out about those who are out there doing great things and how they're making a difference. So my first guest today is Gary Beyer from the Wisconsin Masonic Foundation. Welcome to the show today, Gary.
Well, good morning, Jill. Thanks for bringing us on board.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I think some people have heard of the Freemasons, but don't really know a lot about them, or perhaps have a misconception about who they are and what they do. So they probably don't even know that there's a foundation piece of it. So can you start by giving us an overview and share their mission?
Sure. Well, the foundation will be turning 100 in 1925. So we have been around for quite a long time. And the mission of the foundation at its founding in 1925 was to encourage charity, benevolence, philanthropy, and education of young people, care for the aged, and overall to enrich health and safety for Masons, their neighbors, as well as their communities. And that's kind of where the foundation has expanded its programs, especially over the last 50 years.
Okay, and you're a fully accredited 501c3?
We are indeed, been for over 60 years.
Okay, So tell us a little more about the sponsoring organization.
That's interesting. We could probably spend the whole program on that, but we'll try to make it a quick capsule. The Freemasons, as you know them today, began in 1713 when operating Masons in England were suddenly not doing projects anymore. Churches were built, edifices were completed and constructed, and they said, where do we go from here? And one of the thoughts was, could we expand this to be a more accepting organization which would encourage non-Masons, non-practicing Masons, to become members and to work within the kind of guidelines that they had as an operating guild? And that's pretty much where the whole thing started.
And so one of your major guiding principles is practicing charity.
Yes.
As a means towards self-improvement.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely right.
And then I believe you were telling me that there are about 158 individual symbolic lodges throughout Wisconsin with about 8,000 members.
You are absolutely correct. There are indeed. And those symbolic lodges, a lot of people wonder, sometimes you hear the term Masonic temple. They're one and the same. The symbolic is the grassroots. It's the neighborhood organization that then reports to a statewide organization known as the Grand Lodge. And Grand in Masonic lingo stands for state. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. And how did you get involved?
Well, that goes back, wow. That's over 40, almost 45 years ago. It was really funny. When I was in high school, there were six of us that hung around together. Five of the six, not yours truly included, got involved in the youth outreach, which was called DMLA, which still exists. In 1980, when I joined, I was the only one of the six. The DeMolays never followed up. I got involved. My dad was a Freemason, my great uncle, so I'm third generation. And I liked some of the things that they were involved in. It wasn't just a club that met, played cards, you know, had a little fun, a few drinks. They were out in the community working. When I took the job as development director, originally, I was going through some of the records and I opened this book of photos. Here's my dad standing with one of the very first matching program grants from the Masonic Foundation. So that kind of led to the involvement overall.
Yeah. And okay, so where does the foundation fit into this whole thing?
The foundation is an arm of practice for the Masonic charitable lessons that we learn in the symbolic lodges. One of the major focuses of all of the things that we talk about in Masonic lodges is charity. It gives a focus, it connects us to our communities, and it's a good way to practice and learn how to grow as an individual as well as a Mason. And Masons, they're involved in quite a few number of things in their communities. For example, I'm involved not only in the charitable side, but I've been 22 years in New Berlin on the Board of Review. We have a number of people in government, and if you go back, obviously, the founders of the country, some of the first signers of our Constitution, 13 of them were Freemasons. People like Washington, Ben Franklin, Jefferson, they were all part of the fraternity. So it's kind of a nice, full situation to become involved in, it's a fulfilling, it's very fulfilling.
I imagine.
On the charitable side, for me personally, the foundation has provided some of the greatest experiences in my life. Literally being able to participate in projects that do save lives. We have done that and we'll get into that a little bit later. But the foundation itself really is an extension of what we learn. It's taking it outside of that symbolic lodge room and onto the streets and literally practicing every day what we're taught as we become Masons and grow up in the fraternity.
Well, so you get involved with donor advised and directed funds, matching grant programs, scholarships. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, the foundation, the Wisconsin Masonic Foundation, pretty much like any other community foundation, does have a family of donor advised and directed funds which have been established either through estates or individual gifts with a specific goal in mind. It could be a scholarship. I mean, Jill, we have funds that support the Wisconsin Humane Society. We've been instrumental in helping in the early days of Kathy's House at Frater Hospital, just to name a few. And then obviously, and we'll get into Project Adam and defibrillators that we have put in place. So there's a whole number of specialized program funds that are in the foundation. And then of course the general fund, and that program is known as Acts of Kindness. And that's a big matching program that is very active today that will produce as many as 100 grants each year.
Nice, very nice. So tell us about the matching grant program.
The matching grant today is known as Acts of Kindness, and it's quite simple. It encourages a local Masonic lodge to go out into its community, whether it be Superior or Kenosha, and identify projects that are worthy of charitable support. And then when those are identified, they'll meet with the particular organization that has expressed a need. And they will then be able to come back to the Wisconsin Masonic Foundation, and they each have a budget each year, and they can work within that budget to match their gift to the local charity. So it's kind of a nice outreach that gets a little exposure for us, although we're not seeking a tremendous amount of credit. The real credit is in what gets accomplished.
Right.
So that's in its simplest form what the Acts of Kindness Matching Grant Program is. Access to the program is quite simple. If you know anybody who belongs to one of the symbolic lodges, you can approach them, and then they come and approach us. If you have a charitable project that needs assistance and you don't know where to turn in your community, if you look on our website at wimasons.org, you can find contact information there, and we will connect you with the local symbolic lodge to get the whole program going.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Well, we're going to, great information so far. We're going to continue, though, after our quick commercial break. And when we return, we're going to learn more about a recent program that the foundation is involved in and more about their charity work. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm continuing my conversation with Gary Beyer, Executive Director from the Wisconsin Masonic Foundation. So, Gary, tell us about the most recent program that the foundation has been involved in.
Well, there are two, Jill, ongoing. The first has been actually quite a while. It's been going on for almost a quarter century, and that is the Friendly Defibrillator AED program, and we are quite proud of that. That started back in 1999 with the passing of a fellow by the name of Adam Lemel, who was at a basketball game, I believe it was at Grafton High School, and he passed out and basically didn't come back. And his dad got very involved with Dr. Stuart Berger at Children's Hospital. Lo and behold, our phone rings, and Adam's friend said, I have a goal. I want to have a defibrillator like this so this doesn't happen in every high school in Wisconsin. That would have been about 510 at the time. That was 25 years ago. Today I can report to you with a lot of pride that we have defibrillators in over 400 high schools in Wisconsin, and beyond that, a whole number of junior highs and so forth. We also have done the complete second round of high school defibrillators for MPS, and I'm very proud to say we have 8 saves in that system.
Nice.
Which we didn't have, as we always say when we hand off a defibrillator, hopefully you'll never have to use
Right. Well, we actually had the Children's Hospital on as a guest talking specifically about the ATOM Project a number of years ago. It was probably 5 years ago or so.
Sure.
So I am familiar with it. Great.
And they've been very project. Good partners.
Yeah, I imagine.
Definitely. But you wanted to know more recent. That kind of led us into another program, and this one, they're both technology-based, obviously. The defibrillator is a very technological instrument, has changed tremendously since the beginning of the program. Another area, and interestingly enough, I just saw the news last night on one of the local stations about the lack of resources in the fire departments, even all the way up to the city of Milwaukee. So our current president, Peter Tourville, said, I want to do a new program. I think that's going to have a lot of meaning and a lot of support in our mission to help enrich lives and safety with a thing called FST, which is Fire Suppression Tool. He said, rather than running away from a problem, we're going to run toward the fire and do a major drive and figure out where would the most effective place to have these tools in hand. So we identified through some research that, believe it or not, State Patrol is a wonderful place because they very often are first responders, not only on the highway, but also in the neighborhoods. So 2 years ago, as a part of the Acts of Kindness, the matching program, we started a major drive. We purchased through the foundation and through one of our business partners about 50 of those units. They were gone in 6 months.
Wow.
We've again purchased another 50, and they went, again, less than 6 months. Currently, we have another 40 in hand. We're having a drive. The goal eventually is to have one of these fire suppression tools in the hands of every state patrolman in state patrol person in Wisconsin. Wow. Currently, I think we've done about 100. And what we did, and the reason I talked about the AED program, is we tied it in knowing the experience that we had with those. Mm-hmm. So each state patrol car that gets equipped gets what's called a jump bag. It's a big yellow, bright yellow bag, which if you go to the website, you can see a picture of them. And it contains an AED, a tested, pre-tested AED, as well as the fire suppression tool. And I can report to you today, we have 40 saves.
Oh, wonderful.
Most recently, yeah, and very, very dramatically, Fox 6 covered a couple of weeks ago in Union Grove. There was a major apartment fire, and one of the residents was sound asleep, didn't know that his building was burning around him. And the officer, the state patrol, or sheriff, I think it was deputy, walked in. He had his body cam on, and it actually shows him carrying this tool into the fire. And it's real interesting. The fire suppression tool within 30 seconds can take a 5,000 square foot room, bring it from 2,000 degrees down to 200.
Wow.
It's dramatic. And they really do work.
So you have information on those, about those, on your website?
Yes.
So people can check that out. Yeah.
Yep, we do.
Wow.
And then the neat thing about them, the change in the technology, is that approach has been around for years, but the aerosol component in the tool originally could be lethal, so you could not do it and use it around anything living. That's all changed. Now they're totally 100% safe. We've had pet saves. I mean, it's amazing.
Whenever you're saving lives, that's significant and worthy to talk about. You mentioned scholarships. Can you expand briefly on that area of your charity work?
Yeah, we've been at that scholarships for the better part of 70 years through, again, some of the donor-advised funds, which are quite old, and our scholarships reach all the way from the University of Chicago through the whole state and beyond. We do about 150 a year. They range anywhere from as high as $10,000 to $20,000 per award to as little as $250. Our average award is about $1,000. And I'm very proud to say that over the history of the scholarship program, we have given out over 13,000 scholarships. Some of our grads, I mean, we did years ago a little research to see where they are. Well, they're all over the world. That's obvious that's going to be that way. But we have folks practicing in NASA. We have very experienced automotive service technicians. In fact, one of our programs we do in conjunction with the State Auto Dealers Association. The recipient gets the scholarship, which is a full ride to one of the technical colleges, a set of tools, which is worth probably about $4,000, and a job.
Wow. So it's can't complain about that. That's pretty nice. Wow.
Yeah. So we do have, we're quite proud. And as I say, we do about 150 a year. Beaver Dam, we have the largest single scholarship in the city in Beaver Dam.
Mm. Well, who supports all the charity work then?
Wow. Well, about 65% comes from the Masonic fraternity and our Masonic family. Not only the Freemasons themselves, but Eastern Star, which is a very active part. That's the women's part, and that's extremely active. And there are a lot of famous names connected with Eastern Star. But Eastern Star, and then we have about 35% of the support that we get for all of our programs comes from other foundations, friends of the foundation, and corporations, and matching grants. So we have a pretty wide spectrum. We'll have about 1,500 to 1,700 donors per year. The largest portion, about 65%, coming from the Masonic family itself.
Hmm. Okay. So it sounds like you guys are involved in a number of different projects in all different areas. But what are some other long-term projects that the foundation's been involved with?
Well, we've been involved for a very long time with a number of the veterans organizations. We do support campuses, all of the campuses across the state. And then one of our longest ongoing is a donor-advised fund. It's our largest donor-advised fund through the efforts of an awful lot of work, a combination of our Masonic family, foundations like Greater Milwaukee Foundation is one of the partners, and that would be the Wisconsin Masonic Home Endowment. And it supports a major function at the Wisconsin Masonic Home campus at Dousman.
Okay. And of course, you talked about the Project Adam. You talked about Red Cross, American Heart Association, Lions Club. You say you've got partnerships there.
Yes.
And again, the great work that you're doing in the schools with the defibrillators. So a lot of really cool things going on. So we talked about a lot of different things today. What's one thing that you would like listeners to really take away from everything that we talked about today in this interview?
Well, first, I want to say thank you for allowing us to tell our story. This does not happen very often. I think I've been with the foundation for 27 years. This is about the second time that we've had a chance to talk in this kind of detail. The other thing that we'd like the listeners to take away is the two-way access. Number one, if you have a project in your community and you would like to get help with that project, if it fits into school, government, local civic, or a nonprofit itself, you can feel free to contact us. You can find it at the Wisconsin Masonic website, which is wimasons.org. And all you need to do is click on the charities page, and you'll find the foundation contact information there. Second of all, we can't do this alone. It's a like any other organization like ours, the membership is shrinking. In 1960, we had 72,000 members. Today, we have 8,000.
Wow.
We're still running the programs. Some of the programs were there in 1960, like the Masonic Home Endowment. But the reason that they exist today is because we have partners not only in our Masonic family, but in the community. So if you see something that the Masonic Foundation has been working on, like Project Adam, the FST program, the State Patrol program, and you have the means to do so, give us a little support. It goes a very long way.
Okay. And again, the way that people can get to you is by visiting wimasons.org.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, Gary Beyer, Executive Director from the Wisconsin Masonic Foundation. Thank you for sharing what you're so passionate about and the great work that you're doing in the community.
And thank you for the good work that you're doing with this program.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, Gary talked about a long-term and effective partnership with another Masonic charity that originally came to be because of a special gift of land and a mansion way back in 1905. We're going to take a quick break and learn more about that after we return.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. My next guest today comes from an organization that was started when a mansion and the land it sits on was gifted to the Freemasons back in 1905. That gift is now known as the Wisconsin Masonic Home or Three Pillars Senior Living Communities. Welcome to the show today, Terry Isabel, Chief Development Officer at Three Pillars.
Thanks, Jill. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. Now, I'm familiar with Three Pillars because our founder, Karen Ellenbecker's mother, lived there for a little while, and we actually did an outreach giving event with our Bible study there a few Christmases ago. You have a long history of serving seniors and meeting their social, physical, and spiritual needs. So tell us more about your history.
Sure. So we did start, and we've been around for about 120 years. In 1905, Willard Van Brunt did donate a 300-acre farm, a mansion, and buildings, which was really the formal beginnings of our organization. The mansion was remodeled to provide for the needs of indigent Masons, their wives, widows, mothers, and orphans. However, these days it is not necessary to be a Freemason to live at Three Pillars. To accommodate the needs of the growing demand for residential dwelling and health care, the new Wisconsin Masonic home opened in 1924 with a fully operational 28-bed hospital and the Van Brunt Hall, serving as a home for more than 100 residents. So then in the 1980s, when as healthcare advances, as there's advances in healthcare, the Wisconsin Masonic Health and Rehab opened with 84 beds and the hospital was converted into office space. And then in the 1990s, the third pillar was really added as we opened our Village on the Square, which is the independent living community. It now has 123 apartments and village homes. And then this desire to incorporate that three-pillar concept resulted in the name change to Three Pillars Senior Living Communities, and to really describe our full continuum of care that we provide.
So you guys have a really rich history. Again, that's what I love about the program, is people who may not have been familiar with who you are, or maybe saw you in media or whatever, really didn't know the rich history and that you've been around for quite some time. There are a lot of places for seniors to live. So what makes Three Pillars so special?
Well, I think it really can be summed up in our tagline, which is lifestyle, value, trust. We provide residents with a lifestyle they deserve at an exceptional value from people that they can trust. So Three Pillars really is an extraordinary place to live, to work, and to volunteer. We're located in Wisconsin's beautiful Lake Country. We offer this full continuum of care on our wooded 300-acre campus, which features tall, mature trees, beautiful winding paths for walking and biking, a gorgeous view of the Bark River. It really allows families and residents to enjoy the great outdoors. And because an older adult's needs can change at a moment's notice, we really can meet those needs right here on our campus. And that's the benefit of the full continuum of care. Our residents and families know that they can spend the quality of, they can depend on the quality of our specialized care and the personal relationships that our staff builds with our residents. So interestingly, we're really proud that we just earned a best rating from the U.S. News and World Report, and we're the only continuing care community, retirement community in the state of Wisconsin to receive this best rating.
Well, that's something to be very proud of.
Yeah, we're very excited about it.
Yeah, and you serve about 340 residents a day?
We serve throughout all of our communities. We are serving about 340 residents, and we're growing, so we'll be serving nearly 500 residents.
Wow, okay. So I like to know the why when I talk to people. So why are you so enthusiastic about what you do at Three Pillars?
Well, Three Pillars is a not-for-profit organization, and it really allowing for philanthropic support. So it's really not about the bottom line for us. It's about reinvesting into our mission of serving older adults and having that amazing, talented staff. We're working to fund, I've been working in fund development for more than 25 years, and I just really love helping people find joy in giving of their time and their talent and their resources. I love getting to know the donors and finding opportunities that are meaningful to them, and maybe finding something that they're really passionate about to support. And then in return, you know, we certainly want to be good stewards of their investment, which really makes this whole experience more meaningful. In fact, we have one fund at our at Three Pillars that's really critical. We call it the Resident Support Fund. And this is our charitable care program that allows residents to benefit from Three Pillars services even when they have outlived their financial resources. So it's especially critical when government assistance alone cannot fully provide for their care. And this fund provides that security and that stability of making those worries of the future disappear. And we're really grateful to all those that support this vital resource.
Well, and I'm sure you must have great stories from your residents.
There's a story probably every day from our families. I mean, we have generations of families that live at Three Pillars. We have parents, you know, mom and dads that live there. And there's one family, they have four daughters, and all four daughters, they're on our waiting list. One has already moved in. One is about to move in. So they're living independently. We have husbands and wives, we have residents that are still working and living there, and some have retired, have been retired for more than 40 years. So it's interesting too, like the length of stay. We have like more than 75 residents that have lived at Three Pillars for 10 years or longer, and 9 currently that have lived there for more than 20 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We have residents that, we have a resident, when she turned 100 years old, she published her first book.
So it's never too late.
It's never too late. So they truly are thriving in our organization. I mean, we have so many activities for them. We have art classes. We have a bags team. I mean, I think there's like 35 or 40 people, members on this bags, you know, the cornhole game. They love it, and they play against like other senior centers and senior communities. And let me tell you, they're good. I mean, they played against the staff, and we didn't do very well. So
are they competitive?
Oh, gosh, and they have matching shirts. They're terrific.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really fun. We have bocce ball courts. We have, of course, your coffee hour. We have a happy hour. I don't think we've served. I mean, we serve so many old fashions you can't even imagine. We have performances from our local musicians, and we have concerts in our park every summer. And these are open to the public, so we encourage people to come in and listen to the music. Our residents dress up for themed parties. We have Mardi Gras or luau's or New Year's Eve. They put on plays and they go to the theater. In fact, I have some families who jokingly say that they need to schedule time to spend with their mom and dad because they're so busy. So, I mean, our residents are super, they're just passionate about their home. They get involved with our garden club. We have a vegetable garden with elevated garden beds. It's just, and then I haven't even really talked about our executive chef and how we make homemade, you know, meals every single day for our residents. And we have an on-site salon, and who doesn't like going to the salon? It's like the best day of the week. So it's really terrific.
Wow.
I mean, it's a really special place. It's so warm and welcoming, and it certainly has a culture of its own.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, the effects of the aging baby boomer generation, of which I am a part, have been a topic of discussion for a long time, and how it'll impact health care. So when we return, we're going to learn how Three Pillars has been responding to the needs of our growing senior population. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Julie Conimo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking in our last segment today with Terry Isabel, Chief Development Officer from Three Pillars Senior Living Communities. So, Terry, I mentioned before the break that the effects of the aging baby boomer generation have been a topic of discussion for a long time, and how it'll impact healthcare. So tell us how Three Pillars has been responding to the needs of our growing senior population.
That's a great question. So I just read this statistic that currently 11,200 Americans every day are set to turn 65 years old. That's up from 10,000 just a decade ago. So we have developed a long-term strategic growth plan to identify opportunities through 2030 and beyond. And we have five priorities. So one was to modernize our skilled nursing facility. We needed to address the incomplete care levels between our Compass Point, which is our assisted living community, and that of our of the skilled nursing with a higher level of assisted living. We needed to address the growing memory care needs, and this is significant. We need to evaluate the use of our 300 acres to meet this growing population, and to establish a welcome center concept to address the wayfinding confusion on our growing campus.
Mm.
So certainly right now we've renovated our healthcare center to have all private rooms with private baths. we added a 52-unit facility to offer a higher level of assisted living before the need for that 24-hour skilled nursing care. And this, what's interesting is that this renovation and expansion focused on lifestyle, not necessarily health care. We have beautiful rooms with living and dining spaces with a dedicated areas for activities and programs, and there's tons of natural light and gorgeous courtyards to sit outside and just to really feel like this is a really beautiful home for somebody to live in.
Well, I'm glad there's a map, because I know when we went, we were lost. We were like, where are we going? This place is huge. Well, you mentioned one of your initiatives is to address the growing memory care needs. So tell us more about what you're doing in that area.
So currently in Wisconsin, 111,000 people aged 65 and older are living with some form of dementia. And nearly 11% of people aged 45 and older have subjective cognitive decline. And on top of that, 205,000 family caregivers bear this burden of the disease in Wisconsin. And all of these numbers are rapidly increasing. So at Three Pillars, we see memory loss or some sort of cognitive decline in all of our communities, from independent to assisted living to our healthcare center. So we are focused on filling that gap of programming from showing those early signs or the early diagnosis of some form of dementia to throughout that journey to the need of actual residential care. So we've hired a director of dementia programming, and I love what she's doing because she's really focusing on brain health, not necessarily memory loss, because I don't think anybody wants to admit that they've got memory loss, but wow, if I can focus on keeping my brain active and healthy, that's what I want to do. So we have several programs for our residents, for our families, and really for anybody, any members out in the community that are looking for some resources. We have a really cool program called the Memory Lane Library. And if you have a loved one that's experiencing some memory loss, and sometimes their behavior gets a little bit more anxious or agitated, there are therapeutic tools out there. So, for example, there might be like a plush animal that somebody might want to help them kind of ease that behavior. Well, not everybody really adapts to that. So those tools can be quite expensive. So you can go to our library, you can check out, you can use, you know, try this tool, try this resource, try this plush animal, see if it works. And if it doesn't, you can return it and try something else before investing into a lot of these probably more expensive items. So it's a really wonderful tool and resource for our community. We also have brain health support groups. We started a movement disorders group. As many of you may or may not know, Parkinson's falls underneath the world of dementia and other movement disorders. We have a presentation and speaker series that's monthly. We started a Facebook group, which is really dedicated to caregiver tips and resources. It's a private group, so once you join, it's a safe place where you can share thoughts and ask questions and get some resources. And we started a Walk and Talk Tuesdays during the nicer months of the year. So you can come and enjoy our beautiful park-like setting and take a walk and sit on our benches. And then we usually have some sort of organized activity to go along with that.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, I like your idea of brain health.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's just a switch, an easy use of words that gives it a more positive look, like mental health versus mental illness, right? I think people might look at it a little bit differently. So you've got some nice marketing campaigns going on. Tell us about your current expansion project.
Oh, we're so excited about this. We're really expanding to add more active adult living options, where we're bringing that younger active adults, those baby boomers. We're truly trying to break that stigma of old age nursing home or senior living. So we have the Fields at Three Pillars, which is an independent living community featuring loft apartments, garden homes, courtyard homes, all located in a walkable intergenerational neighborhood with amenities and nature galore. And these new housing options surround a town center accessible by the entire campus. So it includes casual dining, supper club, a pub, spa, performing arts center, social connection spaces, walking and biking trails, pickleball courts, rooftop terrace, a dog park, fitness center, wow. a theater, a park, a kayak launch.
Wow.
So we kind of have it all. And you know what? This is truly not any, it's not, there's nothing like this anywhere in Wisconsin. So we're really, it's a pretty spectacular place.
Yeah. And something to be very proud of. Sounds like you are, you're representing very well. So what are some ways that people can get involved at Three Pillars?
So there's tons of ways. We have lots and lots of volunteer opportunities. You could be a shuttle driver. We always are in need of morning hospitality, salon helpers. We need friendly, you know, if you just want to come for a friendly visit and play a game or maybe show off your pet, we could share a conversation over a cup of coffee with our residents. We have our garden club that we're always looking for people to help out our residents with their gardening. We also have a couple really great special events that's really open to the public. We have our annual Three Pillars Fest, which is held in the fall, typically in September, and our Music and Memories Gala, which is held in the spring. And of course, we always have a long wish list on our website, so you can certainly check that out. And for more information on any and all of this that we've talked about today, please visit threepillars.org, and that's spelled out threepillars.org. Or you can always follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Okay. Well, lots of great great information today and resources to share. So that's great. I want to thank you, Terry Isabel, Chief Development Officer from Three Pillars Senior Living Communities, for participating in our interview today and sharing all the great ways that you are making a difference in our community. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for this wonderful opportunity.
You're welcome.
Really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
And if you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Gary at the Wisconsin Masonic Foundation or visit their website, or Terry at Three Pillars and visit their website for more resources. If you know of a great organization that's doing great work in our community, like our guests today, that you think would be a great guest for our show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. And if you enjoy hearing about great things going on in our community, I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community to learn more about the work people and organizations are doing to make it such a great place. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone via the iHeartRadio app, or you can visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows. You can also now listen on demand. So anywhere you have an internet connection, you're good to go. Our guests have shared today how they're making an impact by serving others. Everyone is capable of doing that in a multitude of different ways. Think about how you might want to make an impact, big or small, whether that's by donating or volunteering or simply advocating for an organization that you're passionate about. I understand that everyone is busy these days, but if you just find a little bit of time to give back, I think you'll find it very rewarding, and you might even be able to find a little more time in your busy schedule to do a little bit more of it, because I believe that it fills you up in a way that other things cannot. So anything you do for others comes back to bless you in so many ways. So find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.